Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, delivering shows from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark LeBunier. In this hour, sitcoms. Later on, we hear Marie Wilson as My Friend Irma, but right now it's Ed Gardner as Archie in Duffy's Tavern. This episode from May 19th, 1948 on NBC.
It's Wednesday night, so we take you now to Duffy's Tavern, starring Archie himself, Ed Gardner. Duffy's Tavern is brought to you by Bristol Myers, makers of Ipana toothpaste for the smile of beauty and Vitalis for well-groomed hair. Ipana, Vitalis.
So for the smile of beauty, use Ipana twice a day. And men, your hair will look neater when it's groomed the Vitalis way.
Hello, Duffy's Tavern. Where do you leave me to eat? Archie, the manager, speaking. Duffy ain't here. Oh, hello, Duffy. How's things? Well, I'd say that our business is on a very solid foundation.
Yeah, on the rocks.
What, Duffy? Yeah, the spring cleaning is all finished. And, there wasn't as much dirt as you'd expect.
With all them leaks in the ceiling, there's been a good deal of natural erosion.
Getting placed. Duffy, we gave the place a thorough cleaning. And a funny thing happened, you know? Remember that black cat of ours? After 5 years, we found out she's really white. Just a second, I'll find out. Eddie, after we cleaned up the place, what did you do with all the extra dirt, he wants to know?
I dumped it into the cellar.
Oh, he dumped it into the cellar?
Yeah. Now you got to walk up one flight to get down to the cellar.
What, Duffy? Huh? Clean the wall? Look, Duffy, if I scrape one more layer of dirt off of that wall, we'll all be next door. And incidentally, as long as I've been doing all this extra work, what about raising me salary? $15 a week ain't to be sneezed at? Duffy, these days, $15 a week is gone before you can say Gesundheit. Now, look, I'm going to give you a choice. Will you give me a raise and hang up the phone, or shall I keep standing here telling you what a cheap, contemptible crumb you are?
How'd you make out?
You dropped another nickel on the phone.
Say, men, what do you want from a hair preparation? You want your hair to look well-groomed, don't you?
Sure I do. But the trouble is, when I put on a hair preparation, my hair gets all greasy. It looks terrible, and I don't like that.
Most men don't. That's why they switch to Vitalis. Vitalis and the famous 60-second workout. For Vitalis is one hair grooming preparation that tames down dry, unruly hair with a natural look, but without giving you a trace of that greasy, patent leather shine.
What's Vitalis got that makes it so different?
It's what Vitalis hasn't got that makes it so different. Vitalis does not contain one single drop of mineral oil. Only pure vegetable oils that prevent dryness and give your hair a neat, masculine look. Give yourself the famous Vitalis 60-second workout. See how it loosens your tight, dry scalp with a refreshing, tingling stimulation. Routs loose dandruff, too, and helps retard excessive falling hair. You feel good, you look good, and all in just 60 seconds. So to look your best tomorrow, get a bottle of Vitalis tonight.
Eddie, answer that phone. Tell that Duffy that he's an underhanded rat, a snake, a double-dealing swine, and a two-faced skunk, and that I'm up at the zoo getting some new ideas.
Mr. Archie,
yeah,
I can't.
Tell him. Tell him he's a baboon, a bottleneck, a big bum, and a brow-beaten boar.
Hello. Duffy's Tavern, Eddie the Keeper of the Bees speaking. Oh, hello, Mr. Duffy. Mr. Archie? Well, he's busy here with some very big names.
Go ahead. Tell him what I said, the dirty crumb.
Hello, Mr. Duffy. Mr. Archie say he's impatient with you. Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah, but you know, these things always lose a little something in the translation.
Give me that phone. Now, look, Duffy, for the last time either I had to get a razor, I quit. Huh? Okay, I know you love me like a son, but... Yes. Yes, I realize the job is steady. Been with you a long time. Yes, I know that at times you have spoken kindly to me. Yes, you did give me my first chance, that's true. Huh? Will I take a cut?
You crumb!
That's the thanks I get after all of these years. Years of toil and sweat. Years of keeping me nose to the grindstone.
Yeah, and your shoulder to the wheel.
Right.
And your ear to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And your eye on the ball.
Right.
Right. Too bad you never find time to do some work.
I'll ignore that. That tightwad. And with all that dough, too, what's he gonna do with it? He can't take it with him.
Well, maybe not. But as soon as he finds out which way he's going, 3-1, he'll make arrangements to have it shipped.
What a fiend in human form.
Archie, I want to talk to you.
Well, if it ain't man's best friend. Good evening, Miss Duffy.
Archie, why do you have these fights with Papa? You know his bark is worse than his bite.
That's only because he ain't got no teeth.
But you shouldn't holler at him like you do. After all, he's an old man, and you're like a son to him. Even more than I am.
Well, I just can't stand him.
Archie, how about that time you had your tonsils taken out? Who was it paid the hospital bills?
Who paid? Miss Duffy, I was in a county hospital and the county paid the bills.
Granted. But who pays taxes to the county?
Look, Miss Duffy, stop making like a bluebird. Take this job and I'm going to quit it. What a dope I was ever to leave Flyshacker, Bushwhacker, Millstone, and Briggs.
Who?
That law firm that I used to work for. Flyshacker, Bushwhacker, Millstone, and Briggs.
What did you do?
What do you think I did?
Wash windows?
That was just a lucky guess. But at the same time, I was training to be a lawyer. In fact, do you know what Flyshacker used to call me?
Hey, stupid.
That was Millstone. Flyshacker used to call me his corpus delicti. Really loved me, you know. Not only that, but he had great confidence in me legal knowledge. In fact, I often heard Flyshacker say to Bushwhacker, "Someday that Archie's gonna be a real shyster."
You know, you sure was a sucker to quit that job if Flyshacker and Bushwhacker took that much interest in you.
Well, Briggs was even more interested. In fact, I spent most of my time in Briggs' office.
Why was that?
Briggs was a dame. Yeah, learned a lot of law from Briggs, too. I used to go to court with her and watch her exhibit her briefs. What a lawyer she was. When she got through with a jury, they didn't know whether they was coming or going.
Oh, what?
Oh, hiya, Finnegan.
And how's your wife and kids?
Go on. Finnegan, are you nuts? I ain't married.
I know, Arch, but it seems such a friendly way to open the conversation.
Well, I'm glad you dropped in. We were just talking about the old days when I studied law with Flyshacker, Bushwhacker, Millstone, and Briggs. Remember what smart lawyers they was, Finnegan?
Oh, yeah.
Especially that Flyshacker. Well, that guy could take a look at a contract and in 30 seconds he could tell you whether it was verbal or written.
Yeah, them was the days. I often wonder what Flyshacker looks like today. Last time I seen him was years ago when I testified in court.
When was that?
When Colucci's horse bit the street cleaner. Remember? I was a witness for the horse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember. And boy, what a horse's witness you were.
Well, sweat fly shacker said at the time.
I remember that very... Hey, wait a minute, Arch. I forgot that you studied law. Maybe you can help me out. You know, me father's been having a little trouble with the traffic cops.
Trouble?
Yeah. For the last month, the cops been giving him a ticket for parking in front of our house.
So?
So every morning, the old man's been going down to court and paying a fine.
Well, then why don't he stop parking there?
How can he? It ain't his car.
Well, if the car is parked in front of your house and it don't belong to your old man, why does he pay the fines?
Ah, it's cheaper than moving the house.
No, Finnegan, if Brains was borscht, you couldn't get on a menu at Lindy's. Now, stop worrying about your troubles. I got troubles of my own.
Good evening, Archie, me boy.
Oh, hello, Officer Clancy. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. I'm a little worried about Mrs. Clancy's health, though.
Why, what's wrong with her?
Nothing.
Clancy, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Every night you come in here and rap your wife. Don't you ever wake up hating yourself in the morning?
That's the one advantage of being married to Mrs. Clancy. If I don't hate myself in the morning, she does.
Yeah, but why keep knocking? If you feel that way about her, why don't you divorce her?
What's the use?
What do you mean, what's the use?
Archie, a friend of mine divorced his wife, and every week for 10 years, he had to pay her a great big alimony. So what happened? Last week, he turned around and married her again.
Why?
For her money. Well, Archie, I'll be seeing you. I got to go to court.
You're going to court?
Yes, yes, I've got to testify. It seems that one of Grogan's employees had an accident. A beer keg fell on his head, and he's suing Grogan.
Suing Grogan, huh? Has he got a case?
Oh, a very good case. The law says if an employee gets hurt during business hours...
Yeah?
The boss is responsible for damages.
That's one way of getting a raise.
What?
Nothing, Clancy. I'll see you later.
So long, Archie.
Say, Eddie.
Yes?
I just happened to recall a bit of legal knowledge. Do you know that if an employee in Duffy's Tavern was hurt, say he had a leg or an arm broken, that we could sue Duffy for plenty?
Which employee did you have in mind?
Eddie, you got to do it. It's the only honest legal means I've got of getting a raise out of Duffy.
Mr. Archie, a broken arm.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll settle for a finger.
A finger? But what about my piano lesson?
You don't take piano lessons.
I start tomorrow.
Just a fair weather friend, huh? Okay, I'll get somebody else.
Say, Arch, I...
Oh, Finnegan, just the man I'm looking for. Finnegan, I got a business proposition for you.
Oh, fine, Arch. I've been looking for a good business proposition.
Yeah, how would you like to break your arm?
Well, I was thinking of opening a hot dog stand, but if that's the trend... So, which arm do I break, Arch?
Well, what's the difference?
There's a lot of difference. My left arm is shorter. See? It only hangs to my knee.
Well, if it'll make you feel better, we'll break your leg.
What's it worth?
$10.
How much for two legs?
$20.
I see. How much for three legs?
What do you care? You only got two legs.
You seem to forget I'm still a growing boy.
To start with, we'll just break one leg. Now, stop being a pig.
Just a minute, Arch. If I break this leg, would they send me to the hospital?
Probably.
Would I have to take ether?
Ether? I suppose so.
Then the deal is off. That stuff wakes me up. Arch, look. Why don't you break a leg?
Me? Break my own leg?
Yeah.
What are you, a sadist?
Well, sorry, I said it.
Hey, wait a minute. Don't have to be a real accident, does it? It could fake you. Yeah. Yeah, give me that phone.
Mr. Duffy?
This chair is the legal firm of Burke and Lefkowitz. This is Mr. Lefkowitz talking. We're all the legal representatives of your employee, Mr. Archie. Yeah, a chandelier just done fell on his head and he had his brain concussed. Yeah. Now that's the ipso. Now, the fatso is, how about making a settlement? You send a lawyer right down to the tavern? Okay.
You send the lawyer down?
So what? After my years with Flyshacker, Bushwhacker, Millstone, and Briggs, I got a bit of legal knowledge myself.
But is it legal in the state it's in?
Stop making wisecracks, Eddie. I'm going to the back room and prepare me case.
Prepare your case?
Yeah, bandage me head. Now take care of the customers. I'll see you later.
Say, Eddie.
Yeah?
Well, while Archie's in the back room, do you mind if I sing a song?
Who are you?
Well, I'm Paul Owen, the fellow who sings, "So for the smile of beauty, use Ipana twice a day."
Oh, that one. Why don't I just go ahead, Mr. Owens? I think the customers may be glad to hear you.
In the night, though we're apart, there's a ghost of you within my haunted heart. Ghost of you, my lost romance. Lips that laugh, eyes that dance. Haunted heart, won't let me be. Dreams repeat a sweet but lonely song to me. Dreams are dust, it's you who must belong to me and thrill my haunted heart. Be still, my haunted heart.
Lovely smile for a brighter, more sparkling smile. Listen.
Try Ipana toothpaste.
Get Ipana and get started toward your own Ipana smile of beauty.
Pin this bandage on me head, will you? That lawyer of Duffy's will probably be here any minute.
You think that lawyer's gonna believe you got concussion of the brain?
Eddie, the law distinctly states that no man is guilty until he is presumed innocent. And even then, not until a jury peers.
Hey, look, Art, how about me being a witness?
No. No, it'll have to be done legal.
Legal?
Yeah. If you're going to be a witness, I'll have to prepare a writ, or in your case, a half writ. Hey, wait a minute.
This is probably Duffy's lawyer coming in the door now.
Where?
The old duffer in a clean collar.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening, sir. Are you, pray chance, looking for the accident?
That is correct.
I am he. I take it that you are the counsel for the defense?
Also correct.
I happen to represent the plaintiff.
You are a lawyer?
I am, sir.
A member of the Bar Association?
Certainly, I'm a member of the Bar Association. How do you think I got these shiny elbows? But I studied law on the side.
I see. Well, Counselor, if we can come to an agreement, perhaps we can settle this matter out of court.
Very well, Counselor. I'll call the first witness. Mr. Green, take the stand.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Green, did I give you a bribe for this testimony?
Not yet.
Well, Counselor, does that satisfy you that the case is on the level?
No objection, Counselor.
Thank you, Counselor. Well, Mr. Green, I would like you to tell the court my own and your own words what you know about Duffy's trusted, loyal employee, Archie.
I have known Mr. Archie for 7 years, during which time not once have I ever seen him perform an act of dishonesty or disloyalty to his employer, unquote.
I thank you, Mr. Green.
The preceding statement was a paid political advertisement.
Want to take another belt at it?
Counselor, please do not digress. This is highly irregular.
Objection overruled. And may I suggest that the learned counsel keep his yap shut while the court's in session? Mr. Green.
Yes, sir?
Mr. Green, do you see this chandelier?
I do.
Can you tell me what it is?
I can.
What is it?
Chandelier.
Your witness, counselor.
We'll concede that it's a chandelier.
I thought you would. Now, counselor, do you have any no processes?
What?
Any beefs?
Sir, by the prima facie evidence, the merits of your plea are ipso facto null and void.
You're willing to surrender, huh?
I mean you haven't given me one iota of proof.
Sir, are you familiar with the case of the people of New York versus the itty-bitty tea room?
I am not.
Then shut up. Now we'll call the next witness. Miss Duffy.
Miss Duffy, you mean you're going to let the opponent's daughter testify?
Can the learned counsel suggest a better habeas to corpus? Miss Duffy, take the witness chair. Now, Miss Duffy, remember, anything you say will be held against you.
Anything?
Yes.
Okay. Van Johnson.
Please. Madam, this court is no place for levitidity. We're trying to arrive at a verdict. Now, look me in the eye.
I'll still take Van Johnson.
I suggest that the witness have a little more contempt for the court. Okay, Counselor, you may question the witness.
Thank you. Now, Miss Duffy.
The answer is yes.
I beg your pardon.
That's my answer. Make up your own question.
Counselor.
Yes?
Counselor, your witness.
Oh, you're getting tricky, huh? Very well. If it pleases the court, I would like to cop a plea of replevin.
On what grounds?
I think it's perfectly obvious.
Do I object?
What do you object to?
I don't know, but it's better than sitting around here like a dope.
Very well, Mr. Finnegan, take the stand.
Okay, what?
Sir, the court contends that... What are you doing rolling your pants above your knees?
I'm giving out with the old sex appeal.
Please, do not try to perjure the court. Now, raise your right hand.
Your right hand?
Your right hand.
Here's both of them. You got the education. Pick out the one you want.
Mr. Finnegan, please. Try to concentrate. Now, tell me, sir. You and me is total strangers, are we not?
The very best.
Did I in any way attempt to bribe you to be a witness?
You mean that Tootsie Rolls you slipped me?
What's this?
Sir, I swear to tell the whole truth that Archie never slipped me a Tootsie Roll.
I'd like to take this witness.
You're welcome, Tom. Objection sustained. Take the guy.
Mr. Finnegan, look me in the eye.
Okay, you got me. I confess. I did it. I did it.
Did what?
I don't know.
Well, Counselor, does that convince you? Are you now willing to concede that the chandelier fractured me skull?
Yes, I'll concede it, and I'll settle right now for
$50. $50? For an injury to one of the finest legal brains in America? Sir, the offer is rejected.
All right, then, we'll take it to court, and I'll prove that the whole thing is a frame-up, or my name is not J.G. Flyshacker.
Wait a minute. What was that name?
Flyshacker.
Flyshacker, a Flyshacker, Bushwhacker, Millstone, and Briggs?
The same.
Mr. Flyshacker, don't you recognize me? I'm Archie. I used to work for you. Remember? Archie.
Archie the Shyster.
Yes.
Yes, I do remember. Yes, now I'm sure we'll find no trouble at all in settling this case.
Well, that's fine. Thanks a lot, Mr. Flyshacker.
I'm sure I can prove to any court in this city that there isn't a chandelier in America heavy enough to crack a skull. That's it.
It's time now to leave Duffy's Tavern for this evening, but let's meet here again at this same time next Wednesday, when our guest will be Rex Harrison. Until next Wednesday, then, this is Rod O'Connor reminding you that for the smile of beauty, remember Ipana toothpaste, and for well-groomed hair, remember Vitalis. Each Wednesday, Bristol Myers bring you Duffy's Tavern.
And Mr. District Attorney, which will be heard at 9:30 tonight. 9:30 tonight for Mr. District Attorney. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Duffy's Tavern on Tuned to Yesterday from May 19th, 1948 on NBC. It's an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levanier. And now Marie Wilson stars as My Friend Irma, which she did in 1949 in the movie of the same name, which served as Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis's film debut. And her television show based on the character wrapped up a year before this broadcast. Next, from June 30th, 1953, a CBS episode where Irma buys an air conditioner.
My Friend Irma,
created by Cy Howard, transcribed from Hollywood, and starring Marie Wilson as Irma and Kathy Lewis as Jane.
Strange. This is the time of the year when the days begin getting shorter, and I live with Irma Peterson, a girl whose head seems to be getting pointier. Yes, it's the end of June, and in a couple of days we'll be going on our 2-week vacation. Oh, I'm looking forward to it. Irma, have you looked through all the travel folders?
Yes, and I think I found a wonderful spot for 2 weeks.
Where? What's it called?
West Point.
West Point. West Point is a military academy for men.
I told you it's a wonderful place.
Hand me the map, will you, honey? Let me see. Hey, how about the Thousand Islands?
Oh, I don't think I'd like that, Jane.
Why not?
Well, I might meet a nice fellow up there, and he might say, meet me on the island tonight, and I might go crazy trying to remember which one.
Honey, it's such a lovely spot, and we can do it on our budget.
Budget?
Yeah, you know, the $300 we saved in our joint checking account just for our vacation.
Jane?
What is it, Irma?
I just remembered something.
The look in your eyes tells me to sit down. What did you remember, Dow?
Well, the other day... I'll get it.
Does Ima Peterson live here?
Yes.
Okay, fellas, bring it in.
Irma, what is this?
It's that little thing I just remembered.
Little? Looks like you're smuggling Fort Knox in here.
Oh, it didn't cost that much.
You bought this?
When do you want it hooked up, lady?
Just, wait. What is this thing, Irma?
An air conditioner.
An air conditioner?
Yes. There was a big sale, and I thought it'd be nice if we could take the air outside and bring it in here and condition it.
Irma, the air we have here in the summer shouldn't be conditioned. It should be deported. Gentlemen, you may take this thing right back.
Can't do it, lady. This was a closeout. All sales final. We got it hooked up right here in the living room.
Now, wait
lady.
A minute, please. Will you wait? Listen.
Lady, we got loads of these to deliver. Goodbye.
Jane, don't look at me like that. You're my best friend, and if a stranger walked in, they'd swear you were my worst enemy.
Irma Peterson, where did you get the money for this?
Out of our joint checking account. It was only $300.
That's all we had in the account.
I know, I didn't want to overdraw. Oh. Jane, don't pull your hair. We can't afford a beauty parlor now.
Oh, this is just great. Every summer when I'm on my vacation, I send a card to my father. Now I'll have to write him saying I'm not doing anything, but my lungs are having a wonderful time.
Now, Jane, you're always looking at the worst side of things. Wait until I turn it on. There. And if you want an ocean breeze, a man said to just wave a herring in front of it. Jane, why don't you say something? Isn't it nice and cool?
Cool. Ooh. I'll have to get a mink stole to live with this thing.
Well, that's why I got it so cheap. The medium adjustment is broken.
Wait a minute. Now it's getting warm in here.
Yes, the man said there was something wrong with the temperature control, but if we dress accordingly, we will enjoy it.
Yeah, well, now I'll have to get a wardrobe mistress. Who is it?
If you don't mind, it's me, Maestro Wanderkin.
Well, put on a pith helmet and come in.
Hello, girls. Do you mind if I take off my jacket?
No, but have a blanket handy. Things are happening here.
What do you mean?
Irma spent all our vacation money on this broken-down air conditioner.
But, Irma, how could you buy an air conditioner? You know Mrs. O'Reilly's rules for the building. No pets allowed and no fresh air tolerated.
I scraped all year. I saved every nickel I could. Every time Irma got lost, I walked to the police station to bring her back so I wouldn't waste money for bus fare. And this is my reward? Hot and cold, running chills?
Well, you mean you won't be able to go away, Jane?
I don't see how, Maestro. Of course, we each have 2 weeks' salary coming, which is $250, roughly.
Well, that'll be enough for the next payment on the air conditioner.
What?
Yeah, I didn't have enough for the full price, $550, so they gave me friendly credit terms, and they were real friendly. When I left, they kissed me.
Well, I better turn that thing off now. It's getting cold.
No, leave it on. I want to get double pneumonia. Anything that'll put me out of my misery.
Please let me turn it off.
No, then we won't get the full pleasure out of it.
Oh, so help me, I'm going to do something to that girl.
No, please, girls, don't let this become an issue between you. We all make mistakes. But the thing that breaks my heart is that you won't have a vacation.
That's right. We're just going to sit here and watch our pores open and close. Grand music of this whirling monstrosity.
Well, now, maybe I could take the two of you girls with me.
Where are you going?
I'm going to conduct the orchestra at the Hotel Wahapenachawaki in the Catskills.
Wahapenachawaki?
Yeah, it's an Indian name.
What does it mean?
Guests will be charged for all towels taken from the premises. If I could only say you girls were musicians.
A pretty girl is like a melody that haunts you night and day.
I mentioned an Indian name, and Hiawatha's grandmother showed up.
Now, don't say anything about the air conditioner. You two are prejudiced. I want to see what Mrs. O'Reilly says. Come in, Mrs. O'Reilly. Hello.
girls. Hello, Maestro.
Greetings.
I'm getting a warm feeling. I wonder if it could be because I'm near you, Maestro.
Stick around. You're about to be cooled off, but good.
What are you talking about? And what are you all doing with blankets folded on your arms? Isn't it early for the football season?
Mrs. O'Reilly, look against the wall.
Glory be. An organ. You play it, Maestro, and I'll sing.
Mrs. O'Reilly, it is not an organ. It's an air conditioner. And it's in the same condition as your voice, broken down.
An air conditioner?
Yeah, Burma spent all our vacation money for this horrible contraption.
Oh, you're not going on a vacation?
How can we?
Oh, what a pity. You've got to go on a vacation. It's one of a girl's happiest times. Why, I've had some of the most sentimental experiences on my summer vacation.
You have?
Yes, I don't know what it is, but there's something about getting a man on a boat in the moonlight that tugs at your heartstrings.
That's right. That's why they call her Tugboat O'Reilly.
Oh, be still. Janie, would you like to borrow some money?
No, Miss O'Reilly. I wouldn't enjoy a vacation knowing I'd borrowed to pay for it.
Oh, now, don't be proud, Janie. I have a couple of extra bills in Miss Tuckin.
No, thanks, Miss O'Reilly. I have my pride. Irma bought this monstrosity, and I'm going to show her for once that she's going to pay. This will be our beach club. This will be our canoe ride. This will be our dancing in the moonlight.
Jane, you better read the directions. This machine can't do all these things.
Go on. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. I'm going in the bedroom, put on my bathing suit, and sit in front of it. Look at the palm trees. Yes, the palm trees.
Glory be, Maestro. Did you hear her raving about the palm trees?
I was afraid of this. The poor girl has dropped her coconuts. Irma, darling.
Oh, now please, Irma, you didn't mean to do it.
It's all my fault. I've driven her out of her mind, and I know how she feels. Come in.
Hello, folks. Hiya, chicken.
Hello, Al, honey.
Chicken, you've been crying. How much can a dame miss a guy?
No, Al, it isn't that. Jane's angry at me again.
That dame is always picking on you. Why, chicken?
Well, I bought that thing against the wall. It's an air conditioner, but it doesn't work too good. The hot is cold and the cold is hot.
What about medium?
That blows out all the fuses.
The point is, Al, that Irma spent all the money she and Janie saved for their vacation.
Chicken, how could you buy such a thing? Well, must be some way we can unload this machine. And when you back us to the wall, there's only one man to call.
Who are you calling, Al?
Who else but... Hello, Sam?
Sam?
Joe's doing time. Sam is watching the store. Hello, Sam? Al. Got a deal for you. Oh, by the way, how's Joe doing? What? Looks pretty bad, huh? Might get the hot seat? Got just the thing for him. An air conditioner to cool him off. Oh, you don't do the buying, huh? Okay, well, thanks anyway. Bye, Sam. Chicken, tried my best. Looks like you're just not going to have a vacation. Well, I gotta run.
Well, would you hurry, Al?
I found a trolley transfer punch for 9 o'clock, and it's only good for the Bronx. See you, chicken.
Did you see how he walked out? I'll bet he thinks I'm stupid, too.
Now, Irma, darling.
I know I've just botched everything up. I've ruined our vacations. Oh, what's the use?
Now, this is a fine thing. Jane is in the bedroom crying. Irma's in the kitchen crying. Mrs. O'Reilly, what are we going to do?
Maestro, we've got to find a way to raise money so that the two girls can get away and have some fun.
All right.
Let's go up on the roof and discuss it further.
All right, but remember, we got to figure out how they should have some fun, not you. He thinks we're Irma. Mr. Clyde.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who is it? Well, Mrs. O'Reilly and the maestro.
Hello, cutie.
What brings the two of you here so early in the morning? Are you eloping?
Please, Mr. Clyde, I'm a guest here. Would I insult you in my home?
Well, we wanted to get here early so we could talk to you before Irma gets here.
Why? What's wrong with Irma?
She took all the money that she and Jane saved for a vacation and bought a worthless air conditioner. Can you imagine that?
Well, that's not too bad for Irma. You see that traffic semaphore at the corner?
You mean that thing that says stop and go?
Yes, she bought that from a traffic cop 2 years ago so we wouldn't bump into each other when we got busy.
I can't believe. Why don't you get rid of it?
Oh, she won't let me. When I'm giving her dictation and I go too fast, she puts the stop sign up. So, she bought an air conditioner.
Yes, and Jane is taking it very badly. Mr. Clyde, we love the girls, and we want to raise some money so they can go on a vacation.
Well, I'll be glad to advance Irma 2 more weeks of salary. That'll take care of October 1st and 15th, 1964.
No, Mr. Clyde, no. The girls won't borrow money, so we have gotten all of their friends together, and we're going to give a block party and try to raise $300.
Oh, I see. Are you going to tell Jane about it?
Well, we're saying it's for a couple of orphans, but we're worried that the girls might not take the money.
Oh, that's very simple. At the block party, hold a raffle and number every ticket you put in the basket the same as the two numbers you give the girls. When they win, they must accept the 2 weeks' vacation.
Mr. Clyde, you're a fine man, a warm-hearted man. When you leave this world, I guarantee you'll go straight to heaven.
And Irma can tell you exactly the day. Here she comes. I'll handle things.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Clyde.
Good morning.
Well, Maestro, Mr. O'Reilly.
Just a minute, Miss Peterson. I'm in the middle of a discussion. So, Maestro, you say that this block party you're planning is for two little orphans.
Yeah.
Oh, isn't that sweet. What are they like, Mr. Clyde?
One has dark hair and the other one, poor thing, she's a little mentally retarded.
She is. Isn't that a shame? I was that way when I was young. What are their names?
Luella.
Susie.
Henrietta.
I thought you said there were only two.
One has a middle name. Well, Maestro and Mrs. O'Reilly, I'll consider it quite an honor to attend your block party and to buy raffle tickets. You know, raffle tickets?
Yes, certainly. Sir. Well, thank you, Mr. Clyde, and goodbye, Irma.
Oh, Maestro, we're only a block from the Marriage License Bureau at City Hall. Which way are we walking?
In the opposite direction. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, Mr. Clyde, I can't tell you how much I admire you for helping in this wonderful work. Do you know these orphans?
Well, indirectly.
Oh. Do you think the younger one will ever be normal?
I doubt it. And now, Miss Peterson, would you mind taking another letter?
Mr. Clyde, I'm not going to have a vacation.
Oh, that's too bad.
I don't feel like working. Can I go home because Jane is angry at me?
Positively not.
Hello, Milton J. Clyde, Monster at Law.
How's that again, Cookie?
Hello, Jane. You're talking to me.
That's right.
Well, what are you doing?
I'm cooking on the air conditioner. I'm making waffles on top and frozen sherbet underneath. Irma, when you come home, we've got a lot of things to do.
What do you mean?
The gang's giving a block party for two little orphans, and we've got to pitch in, honey.
Oh, yes, I heard about the block party.
Miss Peterson, if she wants you to leave, you can leave right now.
Huh?
That's perfectly all right. You go on. Go on home.
Gee, I don't understand. Jane, I'll be right home. Bye. You know, Mr. Clyde, I don't understand you.
What do you mean?
Well, I worked for you for 6 years, and when I asked to go home, you said no.
That's right.
But when you hear it's about two little orphans you don't even know, they get all your attention and sympathy. Well, I'm telling you right now, I'm not killing my parents just for you.
Well, there's no point in doing it now. Before you were born, yes. Goodbye, Miss Peterson.
Schultz and Mr. and Mrs. Martin. Oh, Jane, isn't this exciting?
Really, things are happening so suddenly, I don't know what to make of it.
Well, Janie, dear, it's an emergency. That's why we're holding a block party today. We've got to work fast. Now, Violet, you know how to read palms?
That's right.
Well, what do you think's a fair price to charge the gentleman?
Well,
I generally charge 50 cents, and I get it in advance. Because after I hold their hands for a while, I forget to collect the money.
Well, that's taken care of. I think I'll run the kissing booth.
Mrs. O'Reilly, this cannot help orphans. This can only make widows because all men will kill themselves.
Oh. Well, I'd like to do my share. Can I prepare the food?
No, two orphans are enough. We don't want to make any more.
By the way, is the street going to be roped off so that no traffic comes through?
I took care of that. I went down to the police station myself. You know, I know the boys. I told them I'd be selling kisses, and they said they'd be glad to rope off the street. Now, I know there's a compliment in there someplace.
You know something? When this gang gets together to help somebody, boy, oh boy, there's nothing like it. And it couldn't be for a worthier cause.
No, Jane, it couldn't.
Well, hello. Really, Mrs. Rhinelander, how nice. I can't
now,
tell you...
Now, Jane, when Richard told me all about those two little orphan girls, I just felt that I had to be here. Oh, do you mind if I sit down? Perhaps it was walking up and down the stairs, but I suddenly feel hot and cold flushes.
Not the stairs. Irma, turn off that infernal machine. It could make a monkey out of a death ray.
Okay, I will. Oh, and Mrs. Rhinelander, I just can't tell you how sweet it is of you to come and help us. I only wish that someday you'll be an orphan so we can return the compliment.
Well, look who's here, Mrs. Rhinelander. You got me message?
Yes, I did.
You sweetheart. And to show you how I appreciate it, since I'm running the kissing booth, I'll let you assist me in case we get any elderly customers.
Kathleen, you're priceless.
Yeah, well, it's getting time to start the proceedings. Jane and Irma, would you go and pick up the food from Schultz's Delicatessen?
Oh, sure. Come on, honey.
Well, why do the both of us have to go?
Yeah, well, it's heavy. It's pretty heavy. You see, I ordered 50 pounds of Swiss cheese.
Well, 50 pounds of Swiss cheese only weighs about 10 pounds. You know, most of it is all holes.
Come on, Irma.
Good work, Maestro. Now they're gone. Al, did you have the raffle tickets printed?
Yep, here they are.
All right, let me see there. The benefit block party for orphans. First and second prize, 2 weeks vacation. Good, good. Do you have the wicker basket?
Yep, got it.
Great. Now, everybody at the block party will get one of these tickets with each purchase. We will see that Jane and Irma get number 10 and number 11. Every ticket in the wicker basket is number 10 or 11.
What a great setup. Too bad it's so honest. How much do you think we'll raise?
Well, I've run a lot of charity affairs in my day, but I've never seen such spirit. I think we should raise $600.
Would that include the kissing booth?
Yeah, yeah, and with refunds, we should wind up with $400.
Now, you be still. All right, Violet, you get to your booth, and remember, we are counting on you for a big take.
Don't worry, I'll collect the money in advance.
Mrs. Rhinelander, you come with me. And bring a first aid kit in case any of the men swoon.
I'll get my orchestra ready for the dancing.
Maestro, don't forget to save a dance for me at the block party.
Yeah, I've already opened the manhole cover. Let's go.
The block party's over. You've all had a good time, and now we'd like to have the drawing. The first two prizes are 2 weeks' vacations to the two winners. Now, Mrs. O'Reilly, will you please take a ticket out of the basket?
All right. Here it is. Number 10.
Number 10. Who has number 10?
Irma, what'd you do with our tickets?
I threw them away. We've no car to park.
Irma, how could you?
Wait a minute. Here they are, all wrinkled up in my pocket. Here's yours, Jenny.
Oh.
Who has number 10?
Sure it is. I've got 10. That's wonderful.
And now, Mrs. O'Reilly, will you draw the second winning number?
All right. Number 10. Number 10.
Number 10. Oh, here it is, number 11.
Oh, hey, number 11!
Oh, gosh, not me. I've just got two ones.
What?
Chicken, that's an 11. You're the winner!
Hey, wait a minute. Now, what's going on here, Mrs. O'Reilly? Maestro? Miss Rylander, what are you trying to do? You said this block party was for two orphans.
Janie, dear, what have you been to? I'm a mother, right?
Yeah, I guess I am, yeah.
And if you left her like you threatened, what would she be?
An orphan.
An Irma?
Yes.
Now, these various things you do, like buying the air conditioner. Now, what do you think it's doing to Janie?
Sometimes I'm afraid she'll kill herself.
What would that make you?
An orphan.
You see, we didn't lie. We love you, Janie and Irma. It was the least we could do.
Oh, you shouldn't. Oh, really, you shouldn't.
Oh, to have such friends.
Oh, gosh. Well, I guess there's only one thing we can do now.
Yes. Let's go and sit in front of the air conditioner and dry our tears.
Proceeding has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
My Friend Irma, on Tuned to Yesterday from June 30th, 1953 on CBS. And that brings to a close this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVanier. Thanks for listening.